Hi guys, welcome back to the Unstuck Podcast. It's your host, Aisha Marie Bethay. I'm so excited to be getting into the latest episode. We're going to be talking about why you do need to deal with that self-esteem issue as a Christian, as a believer. Okay, first of all, before we get into the episode, I want to say, hey, how you doing to all my OG listeners? You guys who've been rocking with me, hey, welcome back. And also, I want to give a special shout out to all my new listeners, my new subscribers. Hi, welcome. Thank you so much, all of you, for taking the time out to listen to these episodes. I put a lot of work into them, a lot of prayer, a lot of planning, and I'm just so grateful for your support. Don't forget to leave a review or rating, and don't forget to subscribe so you don't miss any episodes, okay? And without further ado, we're going to get into the episode. Let me make sure you know that my podcast episodes are linked to my YouTube videos. So if you are not subscribed to me on YouTube, it's Coach Marie on YouTube, and I recently did a video titled Let's Talk About Self-Esteem. And in that video, I get into what really is self-esteem, where your self-esteem should be rooted and grounded, really applying that, understanding that, getting into detail about the Lord, the Word, how that connects to your self-esteem. All right. And so these podcast episodes then take what I talked about in a YouTube video and go in depth or go in a different direction and go more in depth in that direction. So make sure that you go check out that video because I cover a lot of important foundational things in that video. And this is, you know, just adding on to that information and that encouragement. So make sure you check that out. All right. And before we really start getting into why you do really need to deal with that self-esteem issue, whatever it may be tethered to, why it's not okay or helpful for you to be lackadaisical about it, lazy about it, apathetic about it, not thinking it's a big deal, not thinking, you know, or not realizing when some things are applying to you, hindering you, affecting you. Before we get into that, I want to talk to you guys about Anchor. Slide that advertisement in there, you know, because the Lord is good, okay? And I really do love Anchor. It's really easy, and I think it's a great option for people who are just starting out on a podcast. So we're going to get into that advertisement, and then we'll go straight into the episode. And we're back. Okay, so before we really get into talking about why you do really need to deal with that self-esteem issue as a Christian, as a believer, and honestly as a person, first, let's kind of do like a self-esteem audit. Because I want you to take a moment to think a bit more closely about the state of your self-esteem. I want to kind of, you know, give space, make an opportunity for you to be able to reflect on where you are when it comes to your self-esteem. Now, I talked about in the YouTube video that self-esteem should really be grounded in Christ, really grounded in his unconditional love and his perfect nature. And I talked about different tenets, different facets of his nature that you really should ground your self-esteem in. But a lot of us, you know, if we're not already doing that, and even if we are attempting to, there's still, you know, somewhere that we are when it comes to how we view ourselves, what we think about ourselves, etc. And so before we even get to talking about the dangers, I want to ask some questions to get you a bit more clear on, a bit more mindful, concerning, and aware of the state of your self-esteem right now. And this is because I don't want to leave any room for the enemy to convince you or for you to convince yourself that some of these things that I'm going to be talking about just are not affecting you, or that you just don't have this kind of issue or whatever. And maybe you don't, but just in case you do, I don't want there to be a deception, you know, where it misses you because it's like, ah, that's not for me. I'm not dealing with that, right? Because sometimes we do think we're not dealing with something when we are, or that we're fine when we're not, or that, you know, these things are going good, but we don't realize this over here is still not doing too well, needs some tending to, needs some healing, needs some whatever it is. So let me ask you guys some questions first. Take some time to think about them, you know, even maybe write them down, but, you know, think about it, reflect on it, you know, even as I'm talking. So first, how do you actually feel about yourself? Like, how do you actually feel about yourself? What do you actually think about yourself? Right? And so when I ask that, you know, like, what are your capabilities? Or what are your abilities? What kind of person are you? What do you deserve? Right? What's available to you? What resources are available to you? Are there? You know, think about, like, what do I really think about me? What kind of person do I think I am? How do I think I am? You know, why do I think I am the way that I am? You know, and to get, let me see. Let me throw some other questions out at you to get you thinking about some things that might indicate that you might want to pay some extra attention to this area, right? Your self-esteem, how you feel about yourself, right? You know, have you been through any traumatic events, whether it's big T, little T, right? So it could be, there's a spectrum when we talk about trauma. I don't want you to just think about going to war. I don't want you to just think about rape or sexual assault. Those are big T's, absolutely. I also want you to think about things like emotional abuse, psychological abuse, dealing with someone who's manipulative, dealing with someone who is, you know, where people try to convince you that what is happening is not happening. So that they don't have to take accountability or to really lower your confidence in your own perception, your ability to perceive reality, really make you doubt yourself, etc. You know, do you doubt yourself a lot? You know, have you experienced any negligence or neglect? You know, what was your home life like growing up? How did your parents treat you? How did they talk to you? Were you, you know, loved? Did you feel loved? Did you feel like your parents were, or the environment you grew up in, was it responsive to your needs, not just your physical needs, but also your emotional needs, right? Let's see, how were you shown or taught how to treat yourself? You know, how do you treat yourself? You know, how do you allow other people to treat you? You know, if you have you been through any stressful situations or circumstances, right? Was there ever a time, you know, that your needs were not being consistently met? You know, was there ever a time, not just your physical needs, but your emotional needs? Have you ever felt abandoned, rejected? You know, have you ever been in dysfunctional situations, whether that's relationships or environments, right? Where there is chaos, turmoil, whether it was a one-time event or whether it kept happening, you know, where there were crises, you know, whether one time or constantly something that was wrong or going on, or just a lack of peace. And did you grow up especially in that kind of situation, right? Have you ever been mistreated in all of the different kinds of ways? Have you ever been made to feel like you weren't good enough? Have you ever felt like you weren't good enough? Maybe, you know, you weren't smart enough. Maybe you weren't attractive enough. Maybe you felt like you weren't competent enough. Maybe you know, have always felt like you lacked in confidence, you know, whatever it may be. Have you ever felt like you're just not special? You know, have you asked earlier, you know, how do you treat yourself? But I also wonder, how do you allow other people to treat you? Whether it's romantically or platonically with friends, because oftentimes there are correlations, but sometimes the things are different. We might have different expectations of people romantically than we do of our friends or of our family. How do you allow your family to treat you? How do they treat you, right? When people mistreat you, how do you make sense of that? What do you tell yourself about why that's happening, or when things don't go right, or when things don't go the way that they should go, or when needs are not met, or when trauma happens, or when things are stressful? What do you tell yourself about why that's happening, or what that means, or what you can do, or what you should do? How do you respond to that? I'm throwing a lot of questions at you. That's why I said, if you need to write some of these down or come back and replay the episode and think through some things, definitely pray about them. But definitely those questions I asked about whether you've been through any traumatic events, stressful events, dysfunctional situations, etc. I'm wondering, how did you make sense of that, right? What's the story that you told yourself about what you've been through? You know, how did you make sense of what you've been through? What did you tell yourself about why that happened? Why it happened to you? You know, what did you tell yourself about why you responded the way that you did? How did you respond? Is there any shame around the different ways that you've responded to things that have happened to you or in your life? Do you feel like you didn't do enough, or you didn't do it the best way, or you didn't do it well, or you didn't do what you maybe feel like should have been done? Are you judgmental, critical on yourself? You know, are you perfectionistic? Is that a word? Are you a perfectionist with yourself? are you highly critical of yourself? Do you have a victim mindset? Do you tend to really get down on yourself, or sway towards depression or sadness much more easier than you do, you know, maybe a proactive, go get it, find a solution kind of mindset? You know, how do you take care of yourself? How well do you take care of yourself? You know, do you take care of others better than you take care of yourself? Are you neglectful in your relationship with yourself? So I want you to think about these different kinds of questions. You know, what do you deserve? What kind of person are you? You know, why are you the way that you are? I want you to think about these different questions, all these different questions that I ask, because answering these questions, honestly, it may take some transparent reflection, a commitment from yourself to be super duper honest about whatever comes up. But I challenge you to really do the work in asking yourself these questions and letting those answers come up, because they will really reveal a lot to you about the state of your self-esteem right now, you know, about how you feel about you, what you think about you. And that's super important to know, because whether you know it or not, and this is part of why you really do need to deal with this self-esteem, why, whether you know it or not, whether you realize it or not, all of this that plays into how you think about yourself and your self-esteem, all of this is affecting your life. It is like a foundation from which you orient life and the world. You know, it affects the way you perceive yourself, the way you perceive others, the way that you think, what you believe, what you don't believe, what you receive, what you don't receive, and then how you show up in the world as a result of it. It affects how you react to different circumstances and events, and, you know, what kind of relationships you choose, what kind of friends you want to have, what you think is acceptable, what you think is unacceptable. It plays into all of that, whether you're cognizant of it or not. And I want to challenge you that if you've been dealing with some things that feel like cycles in your life, where the people change or the faces change or the location changes or the season of life changes, but you're still going through some similar things, or you still have some frustrations with yourself or things that are going on in your life, it may be rooted down deep, having to do with what you really think about, feel about, and how you really perceive yourself. And those cycles will likely continue until you rectify that, right? It's not God's will for you that you walk around with a wounded, bruised self-esteem. It's not God's will for you. I mentioned this in the video, YouTube video. Really go watch that. I mentioned this a lot. It's not God's will for you. That same love, care, attention, etc. that you are likely showing outward, is the will of God that you receive that as well. It's not the Lord's will for you that, you know, although it is God's will that you serve, it's not God's will that you just be, you know, left on empty, hurting, bruised, wounded, always left behind, always left out, always getting the short end of the stick. That's not the Lord's will for you, beloved. So let's talk about it. So ask yourself a lot of these questions, reflect on them, even journal about it, write it down if you need to, but get super duper honest with yourself and figure that out is so important, right? So now that we've got that out of the way, once you do that, once you think about that, okay, next, let's talk about the actual dangers, right, of a wounded, bruised, you know, or faulty self-esteem, sense of self. Let's get into talking about two main things really that have to do with that. Okay, So, getting into the first danger of a wounded self-esteem, right, is how it impacts your relationship with God. And this is why, so the two I'm going to be speaking about are how a wounded self-esteem impacts your relationship with God and how it impacts your interactions and relationships with other people. Okay. But first, let's talk about the one with God, because I think that a lot of people are more familiar with, or probably get that how you feel about yourself is going to impact your relationship with other people. But I don't think that we talk enough about the fact that this is also affecting your relationship with God. And I'm a living witness. So, before the Lord did more to like really minister to me and repair a lot more that had to do with my self-esteem, he showed me that how I was feeling and thinking and et cetera about myself was also impacting the way that I approached God, interacted with him, and the level to which I was able to receive from him and believe him. And that's what I really want to get across to you is that, all right, we're born us. We come to know the Lord, right? So how, if how you feel and think about yourself, et cetera, impacts how you interact with other people, why wouldn't we think that it would also impact our relationship with the Lord? Because they're all relationships, right? Even though the Lord knows you, he knows you super duper perfectly, obviously, but I want you to know, I want you to look for, I want you to reflect more on what is your relationship with the Lord like? Right? What is your relationship with the Lord like? Do you have any difficulty trusting him? Do you have any difficulty believing what he says? Especially believing what he says about you, believing what he says, is for you, his promises concerning you, etc., his love for you. Do you have any, issues with that? Is it difficult to receive from the Lord? Is it difficult to be intimate with him, right? Do you have any unhealthy fear of him? Like I know I used to deal with this kind of problem where I used to feel fear around, okay, but I can't make the wrong decision. I would stress and get anxious about every little thing, and that caused me as a ripple effect to procrastinate a lot, self-sabotage a lot, and be very avoidant and to go into panic mode whenever I had to make a decision because I felt like, okay, I can't make the wrong decision because I gotta do what's in the will of God. And if I don't, then the Lord will be, upset with me and he might let me just get out there and not be in his will and then punish me. And then it'll be my fault because I did the wrong thing. Et cetera, et cetera. And then I would feel a lot of shame because I knew, oh, but the Lord doesn't like when you think this way. He doesn't like when you talk this way. He doesn't like this. He doesn't like that. And I would feel shame and feel unworthy and just feel like always feeling like secretly the Lord was mad with me, that the Lord was not pleased with me. No matter how many times he would give me confirmations or tell me that he was, it was so difficult for me to receive it. And just from this personal experience with me, it was really coming from the ways that I felt about myself because of the things that I had been through, the ways that I made sense of what I'd been through, what other voices, what other people had to say, what other people projected onto me. I internalized a lot of those things and just the ways that, again, I made sense of those things that happened. And then what happened is I projected it onto the Lord. And that's why, I had those fears and different things that I had, and that shame, and that difficulty, and the pressure to almost be perfect, but shame because you know that you are not perfect. So I want you to think about those different things. How do you think about God? How do you think God feels about you? I mean, yes, we know what the word says and da 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 da, but I just want you to be super honest and be for real. Be super duper honest. If you've already believed and received the word and what God says, that's great. But take a moment to be super duper honest. If there are some things that you're like, I mean, that's nice, but I don't know if I really, 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 really believe that. You know, I mean, that's great, but I don't know if I really, really believe that. It's hard for me to really see that. You know, like, take a moment to be super honest. Really, 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 really. And then another a danger of having a wounded self-esteem is because you might misinterpret his will for you, right? Or why certain things happen the way that they do. So you might, you know, something abusive might happen or traumatic, and you might look at it like, maybe this was God punishing me. You know, maybe God's really not like that upset that that happened to me. Maybe he doesn't really care that much because he's too focused on all the other stuff that's going on in the world. Or he, you know, he's kind of unfeeling, detached, you know, like maybe it's hard for you to believe that he cares like that about what has happened to you, about what you have been through. Maybe you believe that he instigated it. Maybe you feel like you just have to accept that because he's God. But what does that do to how you feel and think about him? And what does that do to you guys' relationship? Because think about if a person behaved that way towards you, no matter how much you love them, you might have to give them the side eye and you may not be able to trust them. Because it's like, you know, even if I understand, how could you let that happen? A wounded self-esteem can cause you to look at God or look at certain events and attribute them to God in ways that may not really be true. And that it probably breaks his heart to think that you think about, you know, you believe that that is why that happened or that he did that to you. Super duper important, because then it begins to affect your relationship with God, the way you approach him, your ability to pray, how you are when you pray. You know, what it's like for you when you approach the word, if you can believe it, if you can receive it, if you can even believe and receive truthfully in your heart his love, you know, it makes it difficult, super, super difficult again to trust the Lord, right? To really believe that he accepts you, that he fully loves you, despite the fact that he knows everything, because you're sitting there knowing everything that you know about yourself. And sometimes if you have a wounded self-esteem, you may doubt God a lot. You may doubt God a lot. And there may even be a root of bitterness or resentment against the Lord. I want you to especially think about that if you find that you avoid God a lot. You know, if you avoid God a lot, if you avoid getting into your word consistently, if you, when you make a mistake or you sin or something, if you find that you avoid God, you don't want to talk to him, you don't want to get into the word, you feel like you almost have to take space or hide, like Adam and Eve in the garden. They ate from the fruit and then they hid from the Lord after they clothed themselves, right? Think about where those things come from. And the reason why you can know that it has something a bit more to do with you is because the Lord is very clear in his word about how he loves you, how as his child, how he loves you, how perfectly he loves you, even as he's a holy God that hates sin. He's still very clear. In fact, he says in his word in the New Testament, nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. Right? So his word is clear. His word is there. And it's very encouraging and loving and affirming. So when we find that these other kind of beliefs and judgments and ideas persist even after having that knowledge of the truth there, it speaks to something deeper going on within you that's making it difficult to either believe, receive, or apply that truth that's in the word, right? So that's the first one that I want to talk about. It's a huge danger, and it's something that the Lord wants to minister to you about. Because the way you feel about yourself, I promise you, is impacting your relationship with God, right? It's just like, you know, between romantic partners or love interests, right? How people always talk about, you know, the guy might be telling the girl that she's so beautiful. He compliments her. Or even between friends or whoever it is, giving compliments. And they're like, oh, but you're so beautiful. Oh, I love your hair today. I love your outfit. And the person struggles to take the compliment. They cannot. They always have to find a way to put themselves back down, or they always find a way to negate or nullify the compliment. They can't just receive it. Or even if they say thank you, internally they're like, ugh, little do you know. Or they just don't believe it. You know, you can tell someone they're beautiful until you're blue in the face. The whole world could tell them. But if they believe that they're not beautiful, if they believe that they're ugly, if they believe that they're unattractive, if they believe that they're not pretty enough, then no matter what all these other people say, no matter how many times they say it, no matter if even it feels good in the moment when they tell it to them, they can't receive it because they believe something different about themselves, right? They believe something different about themselves. And it's similar with the Lord and his word and the truth. It's like he's approaching you with unconditional love, with forgiveness, with no condemnation to them that believe, with patience, with gentleness, with meekness, you know, with goodness. He's perfect in how good he is towards you, with affection. The Bible says he loves to give good gifts unto his children, that you are treasured and incredibly loved by the Lord, you know, with sacrifice, the lengths he was willing to go for you. But if you believe something different about yourself, about who you are, how you are, you come to different conclusions about based on who you believe you are, how you believe you are, why you believe you are that way. You come to different conclusions about, therefore, what you're worthy of, what's available to you, how you deserve to be treated, what you deserve to have, right? Think about it. It only makes sense. You know, we come to these different conclusions. A lot of times they're subconscious, but then based on those conclusions, we act, we show up, we respond. So it's really important to think about, because it is also impacting your relationship with the Lord. It is not just impacting your relationship with guys or with girls or with friends. Don't be deceived and think that it just has to do with relationships with other people, but it don't touch your relationship with God. Absolutely. And the Lord wants to minister to you and really deal with that with you. And so you want to surrender it all to him and talk to him about it. Another common example is, you know, self-doubt or difficulty, you know, hearing from the Lord sometimes, or believing when he shows you things, or sometimes feeling like you need him to show me again, confirm it again, because there's so much doubt. A lot of that is still rooted within how you feel about yourself. Maybe you feel like, oh, I can't hear God. Why do you feel that way? There's a deeper root of how you feel about yourself. Or maybe you feel like, you know, you lack confidence. And so you might feel good for a moment when you feel like the Lord is leading you or speaking to you, but then give it some time or let something happen that tries to disagree with or fight against that. Now you're doubling back and doubting yourself. You know, did God really say, or should I really do this? Or can I really do this? Or can I handle it if I fail? Can I handle it if I succeed? Because fear of success is a very real thing. Those things translate to the Lord as well. They translate to that relationship with the Lord as well. Excuse me. So secondly, I want to talk about the danger of a wounded self-esteem that has to do with how it impacts your interactions with your relationships with other people. A big part of this that I really want to talk about is the fact that there's a lot of deception there about your own behavior when your self-esteem is wounded, or it's not, you know, it needs healing or mending in some kind of way. And what I mean by this is deception of your own behavior, because we can begin to interact with people or have patterns of interacting with people that we think are good or even God's will, but they are perverted or harmful or not actually the Lord's will. Like, for example, codependency. A lot of people are codependent, especially Christians, but actually think that they are simply givers, or just, you know, I'm not saying they're not good hearted, but they think that it's just that. When you have a pattern of sacrificing yourself and neglecting yourself in order to show up for others. That's unhealthy. That's codependency. When you have a pattern of, you know, continually treating someone a certain way, despite the fact that they keep showing you different kinds of signs, right? You've idolized a version of them or a version of the relationship that you're not willing to let go of. And you are suffering in the process. And the person is unrepentant, right? Meaning that they keep doing the same thing, or they keep showing up the same way, or they keep treating you the same way, or they keep allowing the same thing. They're unrepentant. They have not changed the behaviors. Most of the time, they haven't even admitted that it was wrong. They haven't taken accountability. But you just keep doing that same thing over and over and over and over and over again while you are suffering, while you are mistreating yourself, while you are neglecting yourself, but not seeing that there's actually something so very wrong with that. That's very codependent. But if we have some wounds and issues with ourselves and our self-esteem, we might think that that's what you should do. We might pervert the will of God, which is to serve. We might pervert it and call codependency godly serving. They are not the same thing. They are absolutely not the same thing. And I think it's a huge misconception and deception, especially within the body of Christ, that codependency and godly serving are the same thing. They are not the same thing. Yes, the Lord said, love your neighbor, but he also said, love your neighbor as yourself. He cares about that relationship with you, because if you don't really love yourself, or you don't love yourself well, or you mistreat yourself, you neglect yourself, etc., what kind of model is that for how you should love others? Right? We are walking billboards of the love of God. Why do we think that the love of God only applies to other people, or that we should only show the love of God to other people, but not ourselves? And I want you to know that people are learning about Christ from how they see you treat you too. It's not just what they see you do for other people. They're learning about love, about Christ, etc. They're learning about these different things about how they see you, treat you. It's not okay. You know, you're not called to live in codependency or, you know, self-neglect, maltreatment of the self in order to serve. We are called to really seek to serve and honor others. But we are also called to be imitators of Christ. That extends to your relationship with yourself. The Lord loves you too. He doesn't mistreat you in order to care for you. That's not what he does. He doesn't mistreat himself in order to care for you. Does he have the mercy, the temperance, etc., all of those things? Yes. But even in all of that, the Lord gives us an example in how to do that. Although he's perfect, you can't do it like him, but we're supposed to seek to try, because he never compromises truth for love. Because true love, true godly love, remember, God is love, they never disagree. The issue is that when our self-esteem is wounded, when we have bruisings and issues there that are not resolved, and how we think, feel, perceive, value, etc., ourselves, what happens is a lot of times we can begin to compromise truth, compromise integrity, compromise what is right, compromise respect, etc., for the emotional feeling of love. And the danger, I mentioned deception earlier, the danger I want you to realize is that when you begin to do this, you have stepped out of purity in doing that. It's become perverted. It's not as selfless as you think, right? Why are you really doing that? What are you really gaining from that, right? How is it serving you? I want you to really think about it. Get honest with yourself. It's just how when people finally come to reflect about, okay, I was in this relationship and it absolutely sucked. And the story they tell themselves is that, but I kept giving it another chance. I really love this person. And it's a very selfless, beautiful kind of narrative that they tell. And a lot of that is partially true. But when you get down deeper to it and you start asking, okay, but why didn't you really leave? You've been saying you don't want this way, or you don't want this thing, but yet you continue to do the same thing. Why is that? And a lot of times you get up under there and you realize, well, there were certain things that I was getting that I was not willing to give up despite the other things that I didn't want. Maybe this person was making me feel good. This person gave me stimulation or excitement in my life that I didn't want to let go of, or I fear being alone. And if I left this person, then what would I do? Or I'd have to start all over again. And I didn't really want to do that. And so even though on the outside, it looked like it was just selfless and it was just out of love, there were some other motives in there as well that really fed the self, that catered to some kind of need the self had, which makes it easier to compromise truth and respect and integrity and righteousness because of those wounds. So I really want you to think about that. And it wounds to the self-esteem and the sense of self also create an environment where things like dysfunctionality and, you know, just trauma, it makes you more vulnerable to different environments, relationships, etc. like that, because of those wounds that you have with self. Makes you more vulnerable to mistreatment, to exploitation, because you're less willing, for reasons that we've just talked about, maybe to walk away, or maybe you're not as quick to notice signs and red flags and indications that, hey, this is going on and this is not okay. And no matter how great, quote unquote, this person is, this is not okay, right? And also in your interactions with other people, you know, it's dangerous to have these wounds that are not tended to, not being tended to, not being dealt with within yourself, because you can stay longer in unhealthy or dangerous situations than you should. And sometimes as believers, what can happen is we can stay longer than we should because we think that it's the will of God, right? Or we don't think it's the will of God to leave the situation, exit the situation, do something about the situation, say something about the situation, especially if that will cause some kind of confrontation or conflict. But I want to encourage you. That's why I'm doing this podcast episode. It's not the Lord's will for you to suffer. The Lord does not compromise truth with emotional feeling of love. Right? We're called to be imitators of Christ. That includes loving yourself, seeking to love yourself more like the way God loves you, and seeking to have interpersonal relationships and dynamics that glorify God. It does not glorify God for someone to be mistreating you, abusing you, etc., and you having to just take it. That does not glorify God. The Lord stands up for truth. He stands up for righteousness. He does not rejoice in wickedness. Okay. Sorry, I get a little, I'm thinking a little bit about that thing. It's so important and it burdens my heart kind of heavy. Some of the situations and difficulties and different things that people go through, and in some ways that we've all been through, where because of different woundings and deceptions and misunderstandings and misinterpretations of how we feel about ourselves and about the will of God and how God feels, some very dangerous things can happen and come up out of that. Okay. So I want to kind of wrap it up here. If you guys are interested in a part two to this episode, you can always send me an email, thecoachingchristian@gmail.com, or you can find me on social media. I'll link it in the description at MarieXOV on Instagram, and just tell me your thoughts about this episode. Let me know, you know, have you been dealing with any wounds or issues within your self-esteem, how you feel about yourself, your confidence, you know, and are you working towards dealing with that? Because you really do need to deal with that. You know, the Lord wants healing for you, not just of a physical issue or a problem, but in your mind, in your heart, in your relationship with yourself. You know, I talk a lot about transformation, deliverance, breakthrough, but it's really hard to attain that and to maintain that with a wounded or a bruised self-esteem. Because you will just run right back. You'll do a U-turn right back to what was. For lots of different reasons based on what your self-esteem is like right now. You'll do a U-turn right back if you don't deal with that. If you don't tend that, mend to that, you know, you'll do a U-turn. You'll do a U-turn. You're running so far away from it, you run right back where you started. Got to heal these things and clean these things up. You know, the Bible says the blessing of the Lord makes rich and adds no sorrow. That's part of the reason why the Lord, I feel, really takes us through some of the processes that he does. Is because if you get more blessed with that same kind of wounded self-esteem, you will knowingly or unknowingly sabotage it or allow it to be sabotaged so that it conforms to the way that you already feel about yourself. Because it is very uncomfortable for our systems, especially emotionally and psychologically, even cognitively, it's very uncomfortable to be in new, unfamiliar environments or circumstances that don't line up with what we're used to, what we're comfortable with, or how we feel about ourselves, no matter how dysfunctional and toxic it may be, no matter how faulty it may be, no matter if we know, you know, cognitively, if we can say that we know that it shouldn't be that way. So if you guys are interested, you know, and you need help with this area, you know that I coach. If you're new, you may not know, but I'm a certified Christian life and relationship coach, and you can always reach out to me. The consultation is free. If you need that, we could talk about that, because it is Lord's will that you tend to that. You allow him, submit it to him, pour your heart out to him about it so he can minister to you regarding that. www.aishabithay.com. If you find that you want to talk to me about it, that's how you can reach me. We can talk about that. I'm going to wrap it up here. My heart really got a little bit burdened talking about that. So I'll be praying for you guys and just praying in general. A lot of heaviness and sorrowfulness of heart can come from a wounded self-esteem. And a lot of literal heartache and heartbreak and dysfunction can manifest itself in your life as a result of a wounded self-esteem. So I really, really, really want to encourage you guys to take it seriously. Take it seriously. You know, as a new creature in Christ, we were just talking about it on the podcast last week. As a new creature in Christ, that also includes that self-esteem and how you feel about yourself. Do you think it's the will of God, truthfully, to think some of the thoughts or feel some of the ways that we sometimes feel about ourselves? Always hard on yourself, never good enough, you know, all that jazz. Unworthy. Do you think that's the will of God? That's not the will of God, right? There's a newness for you in Christ regarding how you feel about yourself, how you think about yourself, what you think you're capable of, etc., what you think you're worth, what you think you deserve. There is a newness in Christ for you concerning those things. And my prayer is that more of us seek God out about that and decide to do the work to begin to believe and receive those things and live them out. So I'm going to wrap it up here. If you haven't checked out the YouTube video connected to this episode, make sure you do that. Coach Marie on YouTube. And also Growing God's Queens has pre-launched. You guys know, if you've been listening for any amount of time, Growing God's Queens is a community for women who are they refuse to settle for anything less than God's best in every area of their lives. It includes your relationship with yourself. Absolutely. And they're committed to growing into all that God's called them to be, which definitely includes cleaning up that self-esteem. So the pre-launch started February 15th. To register is free. The community is free. Now you just go to my website, put your information in there. And there'll be more details up there about that. So if you're interested in that, make sure you check that out. And with that, thank you guys so much for listening. I can't wait to hear from you, and I'll see you guys in the next episode. Bye, guys.